The issue with thinking that the solution to behavior is positive relationships is that oftentimes those relationships are based in adults just wanting to get kids to produce for them.
Amidst the many opinions swirling around education, navigating the chatter can be dizzying, but fear not. This December, Schoolin' Around is here to untangle the web of perspectives. Each week this month, we invited a guest for a short conversation, diving into misunderstandings around hot topics and tough questions in education. For our first episode this series, I chatted with a member of our professional services team, Christina Solinger, about dealing with behavior in schools. Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team. As always, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Well, today we welcome Christina Solinger, our professional services manager here at Branching Minds, who she is a school licensed school counselor. And she is just passionate to like work alongside educators to help repair equity gaps in the school systems. And so we're just excited to have her here to talk about behavior. That's a big topic. I mean, this is a short episode, but we're going to just like dive in. So Christina, this is kind of like your area of expertise. So bridge the gap here. Because I know there's a lot of like teachers and administrators that have different perspectives about how to deal with behavior in school. And this is a hot topic these days. So for you, what is a misunderstanding about behavior that you think teachers have and administrators might have? So maybe talk to both of those points.
Yeah, I actually have the same answer for both audiences. I love this question. And I think the biggest misunderstanding about behavior is when people say, well, it's just about relationships. And everyone's like, cool, cool. Love that. What do I do? Right. And then you have some schools of thought who are thinking like, well, it can't just be about relationships. I can't just give kids everything they want.
Send them back to class with that snack. Right.
Yeah, I know. It's like you just played Jenga for 30 minutes and gave them some Cheez-Its and then they came on back with a sucker. The issue with thinking that the solution to behavior is positive relationships is that oftentimes those relationships are based in adults just wanting to get kids to produce for them. And there was an article that I read and it like blew my mind. The author's name is Lisa Kelly, and she wrote in an article that we're supposed to be building schools that are centered on relationships, not relationships that are about getting kids to like you enough to want to produce for you.
Ooh, that's good.
It's really so good. And then you realize like that is totally, when we say relationships, what we are actually measuring is, do I get the kids to do what I want them to do?
Well, it's like an agenda-based relationship. It's all based. Yeah. It's like I want to get something from you. So that's why I'm building that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's that ego involved too of, oh, well, I could get that kid to do that. Like, oh, that kid gets back into the line when I give him the look
That stings.
It's real though. It's so real. Because it feels good. It feels good to be a relationship builder. And that's so important. But I think that the answer isn't about building relationships to get kids to do what we want them to, which is compliance-based. Because at some point, that relationship is going to be tested because we're going to be asking students to do something they don't want to do. So what we need to be testing our relationships on is not the strength of compliance and production. We need to be testing those relationships based on the joy that I can see within them and how I can foster that joy in my classroom. So that to me is when I hear people say like, oh, they must be a really good relationship builder. Oh, I'm just not able to build those relationships like some of my colleagues can have, you know, I would say like, we can all build relationships out of joy. That's something that we're all in the field of education to do. So we can't be testing our relationships or tracking our relationships based on, are we getting them to do what we want them to do? We're testing our relationships based on, do we see them feel joy and feel independence? And if you can target those things, that's going to decrease your behavior, because then that relationship is built on trust. It's built on humanity. And it's based on mutual understanding, not just, oh, well, I don't really have to worry about them because they always kind of do what I want them to do.
Well, and I was a middle school teacher. And so those authentic relationships, because I don't know about you, but the kids that I worked with, it's like they had this meter of, they could see when teachers sort of, like, oh, you're just trying to get me to do what you want. And so you had to work really hard to build that relationship. But that whole idea of, if it's based on joy, and it's the ones they can tell that really, that you really care about them, right? It's about really caring about what's happening in their life, not just in this classroom, but beyond that too. And that's where the joy comes in, right? When you are talking to them in a genuine manner about their baseball game or what their, you know, their family's like or whatever. I think that that's those key things of, it's not like a checklist. Oh, I asked them about how they're doing today, or, you know, I checked off if they needed anything. I think that there's the idea of like authentic relationship building. That's where that joy comes in. That's that part of, they actually enjoy being in your classroom because you've built that trust and that relationship with them, not just because you know stuff about them.
Totally, totally. And so how do we do that, right? Like, because again, now we're also getting down that track of like, well, we just build authentic relationships. And I think educators look at that and they're like, when? How do you even imagine us trying to do that? I had an administrator who gave me this tip, and it was the thing that I used most often in schools, is if there's a student that a teacher is really having trouble with, the first thing they do, right, is they try and call someone in to push into their classroom and work with that student. Yeah. And what we would do is I would actually say, you know what, let me push in. Let me hang with the rest of the class. They're doing independent work. Why don't you just go into the library or just go into my office with that one student and just play a game? And the teachers would be like, but how is that? And I'm like, it's not about compliance. It's just about showing that student that you want to find the joy. And you can authentically say, you know, kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, like, hey, it seems like we're not having fun together. It seems like we are not jiving. It seems like we're not trusting each other. Let's just let it go. I'm having a stressful day as a teacher. You're clearly having a stressful day too. Let's just go and be humans together. Let's just go play a game. It's showing students that we are willing to take the facade off of that power dynamic, and we are willing to just be humans alongside that student. And it's not tied to a behavior. It's not saying, oh, you have to earn that time to go spend time with your teacher. It's just the teacher taking it a step back and saying, this doesn't feel good for me. This probably doesn't feel good for you. You know, and then I would come in and I would be with the rest of the class who are all doing what they need to be doing.
It's like, well, it's a shared experience too. I think that is really powerful. And I was as you were talking about that, I was thinking of like different instances of students I was able to build a relationship quickly with. And oh, they came in before school to help me do something in my classroom, or they were involved in the drama club that I led. Those shared experiences that you have with a student, that can go a long way as far as experiencing joy, like when you experience something together. Yeah.
And then also, I love that. Oh, and I knew you were a theater person. I'm a theater person too. It all makes sense now. But I just wanted to say along those lines too, of when you're building those shared experiences, remembering to be running through that entire list of students and those students that you think you're in positive relationship with because they do what you always tell them to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in positive compliance with them, making sure that you're also creating those shared experiences with those students. Because again, a relationship based on compliance isn't a trusting relationship that's going to benefit you or the student down the road when things get really tough.
Yeah. So to me as a teacher, if I'm having a really hard year and I'm having lots of behavior issues, I might interpret what you're saying is you need to do more to help with behavior. You need to do more. So like, you know, and that's the thread like sometimes we hear about as educators, as classroom teachers, even though as leaders, we may not say that, but that's how it can be interpreted when you've when you're having a really hard year. And so how do we address that student behavior without making it seem like teachers aren't doing enough?
Yeah. It's the vulnerability piece behind that. I think that's where that comes from, is if we're feeling that way, like, oh, I'm being asked to do more. Really, maybe it's what do I need to be doing a little bit differently? But it's hard as educators to be willing to say you need help. And I think that with the increase in mental health needs that educators are feeling and seeing and experiencing, they need help. And it doesn't mean they're doing anything wrong. So how do we create more of a collaborative system, which is MTSS? How do we create that more collaborative system where teachers don't feel like if they have a need or if they need support that they're doing something wrong or that they're not doing enough? And it really all goes back to deepening that system of collaboration and being proactive. As a school counselor, I want to know what's going on with every kid in your classroom before it's an issue. So I'm attending your meetings regularly, not just when I get called in. My presence in classrooms is regular. Talking about student experiences is regular. We're fighting that referral model because the referral model is that white flag. It is us saying, hey, I need help. I've tried absolutely everything I can. I have no other options. But if we get into that proactive side of collaboration, we're building that trust between our classroom teachers, our administrators, and our support team. So it doesn't feel like you need that magic bullet coming in to fix everything. Because the reality is, just because I have a degree in mental health doesn't mean that I'm going to have the quick fix for every student. So the goal is to intercept things before teachers are saying, SOS, I need help right now. Because that's also putting a lot on the administrator. That's putting a lot on the support team members to be able to kind of backtrack and figure it all out. So I think it's all about building systems of collaboration. Mm. We are always attending meetings together, talking about data. Isn't a data meeting that comes up a lot with colleagues that I know you talk to. Like, data isn't every single meeting, because then it doesn't feel vulnerable as a teacher. It's just a part of the culture. And that extends to phone calls home, positive phone calls home to family as well. It's that same idea that we're in relationship with our families, we're in relationship with our students, we're all in relationship together to decrease that power dynamic, because it isn't all on the teachers. It can't be. But if we're not all kind of digging in the trenches together and we're not all having that joy together, it's really hard to trust each other.
Yeah. Well, I think that you're right in the fact that like it's about developing that system of support for not just students, but for teachers, because it isn't, yeah, you're right. It isn't all on one teacher. As a teacher, oftentimes, especially in the secondary level, it's really easy to feel isolated and to feel like you're the only one that cares. You're the only one that's dealing with this. But that collaboration, when you sort of open the door and you talk about it, you realize, oh, we're all struggling with the student. This is a team thing that we need to work together.
Again, we can't just say like, well, just really release that burden, right? Like the only way that we can actually do that is by building that system where it is on my calendar that I am attending these PLCs, I'm attending these grade level meetings, you know, that, and we're talking about we're doing a rundown of every student on your roster. Because when things get crazy and emotions are heightened and we're all stressed out, you only want to talk when things are an absolute crisis. So it's all about building those proactive collaboration systems so you can have that trust and that joy, right? Mm-hmm. So we're also, as adults, we need to be having fun and having joyful experiences with each other as well.
Oh, yeah. If every meeting is hard and terrible, like,
right,
that doesn't make it any better. Well, Christina, you've got some great insights, and I'll definitely have you back. This is a fantastic just insight into how we can help teachers and support them. I just appreciate you being here.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love doing whatever we can to help people that are in the field on the ground right now.
Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear all our future episodes. As well, if you're enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and let us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.